Praise God. Open up to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. So do not be silent. We're not at Christmas yet when we'll talk about silent night. But when it comes to being thankful, you should not be silent. And obviously this time of year, whenever we focus on Thanksgiving and we're going to direct our attention to it, I want to share something with you that the Lord shared with me for you, and I believe it's something that we need to grab a hold of. Now, Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 4. It reads this way, "Rejoice in the Lord always," or always, "and again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now be careful," verse number 6, "for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious for anything or don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing. That's an old English way of saying that. "But in everything by prayer and supplication," with what? "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, look at verse number 8. You all know this. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, we're supposed to think on good things. Okay, how many of y'all have found out in your lives that it's easy to think on bad things? You know, I mean, some may not want to admit it, but the fact of the matter is, it is easy to think on bad things. The enemy magnifies bad things, magnifies negative things, magnifies things that are not holy, just, pure, honest, of a good report. The world uses that material for their jokes. You know, who was it years ago? Sinbad. Now, Sinbad was born again. He was the comedian, you know, the guy. I don't know his actual name, but he went by Sinbad, right? And that wasn't like a bad name. He's saying sin is bad. Literally, I heard him say that. That's why he changed his name, because sin is bad, and that's his character that he's bringing out in his comedy. And he spoke with a famous comedian who told him, "Keep it clean. You know, the off-color four-letter expletives will get you a laugh here and there, but it won't create a long career. Keep it clean. Because clean and funny is much, much better than, you know, a momentary use of an expletive that people may laugh at. And then people get saved and it's no longer funny." And, you know, so you had just the opposite in Eddie Murphy. The guy could be very funny, but he chose to go the route of using every foul word. Richard Pryor, you know the ones. George Carlin. I'm not so sure that George Carlin didn't get born again. I think he passed away, if I'm not mistaken. But Sinbad had and still has a very successful career and, kept all of that stuff out of it. The world uses those kind of things that are not honest, not true, not pure, not lovely, not of a good report, things that have no virtue in them, and makes light of it. And the tactic behind that for the devil doing that through people, because trust me, it's not the Holy Spirit speaking that through folks, is to break down the barriers and get people laughing about stuff, thinking that it's funny to talk about sex with a four-letter word or excrement with a four-letter, whatever it may be, and make jokes about it, and make jokes about things that aren't pure and aren't good. And the fact is, you can joke about things. Jesus was probably the best, not probably, he was the one that invented funny. I mean, think about it for a minute. When he's joking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I mean, here he is, he's got a shawl over him, it's dark out, it's obviously toward the end of the day because they were going to pull aside and go in and stay the night. And Jesus is talking to them, and they're saying, don't you know what happened in Jerusalem in the last few days? And his response was, what? And every time I read that, I can't help but think Jesus knows what he's doing. He's just baiting these guys in a playful fashion. And there's nothing wrong with playful humor. There's a time and a place for it. But using things that the scriptures do not justify is not the way we ought to go. So, you know, as a born-again believer, you should unlearn, is that the word? How about forget all the dirty jokes you heard when you were a sinner? And, you know, I'm not going to say that some of those things don't appeal to the flesh, because they do, and that's mainly what their target is. But as believers, we shouldn't go that route. Amen. So in this portion of Scripture, though, it tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he tells them, and he says it again, rejoice. And there's a reason that you needed to hear that twice. You probably need to hear it more than twice, because situations and circumstances come up in our lives where we don't want to rejoice. We don't want to be thankful. We want to think on the bad things. We want to think on the negative. And the negative is right in front of our face, and it's all we can do to not be talking about it all day long. And a lot of people go down that route. They don't understand the confession of their lips and how important it is to actually keep the word in their mouth and let the Holy Spirit get a hold of their tongue. You know, when I got saved, the first thing that left me, first thing, cussing. It's the first thing that left. I could cuss with the best of them. I'm not bragging on it. I'm just telling you, I know I knew all the words then. I still know the words. I just don't use them. And the Lord got a hold of my tongue. And I'm very grateful, very thankful for that, because all cussing ever did was make me look stupid. I know people think it makes you look cool. Or tough, or wow, No, just all you can come up with is four-letter words. You know, use longer words. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. You're talking to somebody who could do it, and I did. And once I got saved, it's like I knew that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And I always had enough, you know, decency about me, even as a sinner, to not cuss in front of women. There was that time I cussed at my mom. She was a woman, and she had a wet dish rag in her hand, and boy, did I pay for that. Yeah, it's never a good thing. But anyway, in this portion of Scripture, the Lord, what he brought out to me was that inappreciation is a silent killer. Inappreciation. In other words, not showing appreciation, not being thankful, is a silent killer. Now, the title of the message again tonight was Do Not Be Silent. So obviously into that you can read that we ought to be verbalizing our thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? You know, there's a, in the medical world, does anybody know what they call the silent killer? Heart attack, yeah, it has to do with the heart, but it is the high blood pressure. And you know, people aren't aware of their blood pressure climbing up at times. And you can look that up later. Don't do it right now. But that's kind of the silent killer is high blood pressure. And doctors talk about that because it is an indicator of what's going on in your body, your blood pressure, right? Yeah. Right? Okay, so the silent killer, which I'm not sitting in here going, you know, y'all have high blood pressure. I would suggest you check it from time to time. The one of the things that my mom told me a long time ago, and it's a proven fact, people in Italy or people that eat a lot of garlic don't have high blood pressure. So I take garlic. I won't say I do it every single day. I miss a day here and there, but I take it consistently in my life. I've got a lot of garlic in me, okay? yeah, I take vitamins, and I believe in taking vitamins. And so people can say what they want, but yeah, praise God. So Okay, but it seems that inappreciation creeps into people's... Here's the point. Inappreciation creeps into people's lives very slowly. Very slowly. Inappreciation will creep into your life. Many times it's not until someone or something is gone that that person realizes what they have and what they have lost. What they had and what they have now lost. You know, of late we've been dealing with some of our freedoms being infringed upon. People keep going, well, you know, the science, yeah? And what does the science say? I just heard the statistics today. People 49 or 50 and under, it's a 99.21% survival rate if you happen to contract the disease, this virus. 99.2. For people over 50 to 75 or 70, the rate of survival drops to 94-96%. And so I'm thinking on that line, I'm thinking, you know, but we've had some of our freedoms infringed upon. Now, it's voluntary, and I realize that, and I've been doing my best to do the things that, you know, they're asking. You go into place, I put the mask on like people do, and I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. But once you start hearing that, they're trying to tell you you can't have Thanksgiving? Serious? Now, they've been pulling this junk out there on the communist coast, California. I've got some family and good friends out in California, and I know I was, you know, talking with Ron, and they're certainly not happy with it, and there's a lot of good Christians out there that are not happy with this stuff. In fact, they are standing up and not, you know, lining up with what these dictators are trying to push at them. When they tell you you can't praise God in church, what are you going to do? Praise God, exactly. And there are churches, big churches, opening up and just doing it anyway. It's amazing how that, you know, the governor out there put this decree out there that you can't get together and you got to wear masks and this. And then there's suddenly a picture shown of him that he was in this fancy restaurant the other day without a mask on, sitting with people. It's okay for him, but it's not. See, I don't go for that. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I didn't just make that up either, by the way. But when something is gone or feels like it's been being infringed upon, then you start to realize how precious those things are. Now, I would say that, and this is something that I practice in my life, and I do it consistently. I combat inappreciation on a daily, if not every other day, basis. I am thankful for what I have. Ann and I were talking about this before, and I said, you know, there are times I just stand and I just say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Do you look at what you have? You remember the old saying? Remember that old thing where people would say, count your blessings? Who's ever heard that? You ever hear that? Count your blessings. What does that mean? I was like, I don't know how to count my blessings. I remember a neighbor said that to me, that, you know, we need to count our blessings. And I went home and I asked my mom. Actually, he didn't tell me. He told his daughter. And I was just a kid. And I remember hearing that, and I'm like, count my... How do you count your blessings? I didn't know what he meant. And my mom told me, she said, well, that means just be appreciative for the things that you have. So I'll say it to you tonight, for you to count your blessings. And the easiest way you can do that is to just, in your life, look around. Look around in your life. Take a look at what the Lord has done in you, for you, through you, has done to you. Take a long, hard look. It wouldn't hurt to list off these things. Look what I have. Look what the Lord has done in my life, how he has blessed me. And you know, there's one thing about about really honest thankfulness and thanksgiving in a person, you can tell when they're really thankful. They don't have to go, oh, and shower you with, you know, slobber and hugs and everything for you to know that they were thankful. In fact, I'm always a little suspicious of that. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me? You here? You there? Yeah, you're there. If somebody looks at me and says, hey, thanks, I can tell when it's genuine. You know what I'm saying? You can tell. They don't have to do a song and dance for you and jump up and do a cartwheel to show that they are really appreciative. An honest thank you so much is good. So all I'm telling you is, in order to be appreciative, you need to practice that. Practice it. Don't wait for the last Thursday third Thursday. What is Thanksgiving? The third Thursday, last Thursday, last fourth Thursday, whatever. So it'd be the last one. Yeah. Don't wait till then to start thinking about what you have been blessed with. Don't wait until something's gone in order to be thankful for it. Do you know how many times my dad would ask me to do something for him, and sometimes I'd grumble about doing it when I was younger, and how many times I've thought of that, recently. And the older I get with my son, I see that how the cycle goes, I have no regrets about my dad, right? I love my dad. My dad loved me. I don't sit there and go, gee, I wish I had done this or said this or what have you. No, I'm sad that he's gone. I wish he were here. But at the same time, I know where he's at, and I will see him again, and I know that. But I just, everybody who has a loved one go on to be with the Lord will think about what they could have said. You know what I'm saying? Really, it comes down to being thankful for what you have now, and do that on a consistent basis. Now, here's what I want to bring out to you today. So we're supposed to, according to verse number 6, not worry about stuff, in everything by prayer and supplication, with this thanksgiving attached to it, let our request be made known unto God. And as a result, the peace of God follows. Amen? You see that in verse 7? So, in all of this election stuff that we've been dealing with, and we're right in the middle of it yet, and let me encourage you to go, if you did not, go to the Victory Channel, and last night there was a program on called Flashpoint, and you can find it on YouTube. That broadcast of last night is on YouTube. And if did anybody see it? I know I watched it twice, but here's a prophetic word that Pastor Hank Kuhneman brought out. Get this. On October 26th, 2016, okay, 4 years ago, he had this word of the Lord talking about in this next administration, which was the Trump administration. That was a week or two before the election in 2016, when everybody was saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win. You remember that? We never said that. But anyway, he said that in this next administration, there will be three vacancies in the Supreme Court. Okay? And he said, and the third one will be filled by a woman who loves and treasures the life, or is, loves the lives of the unborn. Now, to me, that's pretty easy to see what happened. Who was the third justice that was confirmed? Which is, by the way, unheard of to have three in one four-year term. The third was the woman, Amy Coney Barrett. You know when she was confirmed? October 26, 2020. 4 years to the day that prophetic word came out. Now, the reason I say that, there was another part of that prophetic word that came out. And in that word, Brother Kuhneman, Hank Kuhneman, said, and in this, and the Lord spoke it through him, and you can go find it on YouTube, it's there. He said, in this administration, there will be corruption exposed. Now, He was not referring to that the corruption would be in the Trump administration. When you listen to it, you can clearly hear what he's talking about, that this during the time of this administration, great corruption would be exposed. He said, I've heard what they've said in their secret chambers and the plans that they've made. I've heard it. That's what the Lord said. And this corruption will be exposed. So I'm going to tell you something right now. There's corruption being exposed right now. And had President Trump been on November 3rd declared president, who knows if this corruption would continue to be exposed. Yeah, there's corruption being exposed as we speak. And you watch in the next few weeks the corruption that's going to be exposed of all of this junk that was going on with this election. Anybody with anything upstairs knows something went on. It's that simple. Now you hold fast to the word of the Lord. Amen? You know, we're supposed to trust the Lord. We're also supposed to, the scripture says, believe his prophets. That Hank Kuhneman has a very, very good track record, I don't mind telling you. Spirit-filled, word of faith guy who operates in the realm of the prophet. So I was listening to that, and I was like, yeah. And then Mario Murillo chimed in, and Lance Wallnau chimed in. And Gene Bailey was the host of it last night. Chiming, they were saying some things. It just blessed me, man. In fact, I went back. I watched it twice, didn't I? Yeah, and good stuff. Good stuff. You hold fast and don't you let go. The devil's not going to wag his finger in God's face. Do illegal, dishonest things. Do you think for one second that the God that we worship in this word is backing up something, an administration, that they showed a clip of how they're having these transgender, these ceremonies where it's a gay church, and they bring a child up a little boy who wants to be known as a girl, and he's all of 8, 9 years old? Not even that. I'm a little boy. And the mama's encouraging, you know, you want to be a girl. And he's, you know, I'm like, and they even warned, they said, this is going to be disturbing to some of you. Joe Biden, when he was asked about that, said, oh, I would back that 100%. Let me ask you something. Do you think God is in that? Does God say, you know, I made you a man or a male, and if you choose and want to be a female in a short time, have an operation, become a girl? You don't see that. People make stupid choices, but there's a deception attached to that. You know, and so it's so plain that God's not for that. God's not for killing the unborn. This abortion thing, that's the, oh man, they hate that Roe v. Wade is going down. They hate that. You and I should be thankful for what we have in this country and that we've had a president who's standing up against all this wickedness. Is he a perfect man? Absolutely not, and neither are you, and neither am I. So, I looked at this, and the more I was looking into it, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, I want you to go there quickly, because as we talk about being thankful, right now during this time, there seems to be a lot of opposition to thankfulness, opposition to joy because of what's going on, how the media is pushing it, that this guy is going to be the president and all these changes are going to happen as soon as he gets in. He's going to undo all this stuff. Reenact all of these ungodly things that were pushed in the prior administration where they got it, where men could marry men and, you know, up the ante with the abortion stuff and all that noise. And so I started to think on that. Proverbs 18, verse number 10, what does the Bible say? It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Or is set aloft. That's what my footnote says there in the original Hebrew. Too high for capture. Now I got to thinking about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Eva, you told me, and you had done the study on Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, and brought it out, and I'm going to tell you, she's right. Where the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength, it literally reads, the joy of the Lord is your defense. It is also your refuge, stronghold, protection, safety. The joy of the Lord is your protection and a stronghold. Now tie these two verses, Proverbs 18, verse 10, and Nehemiah 8, verse 10, together. The joy of the Lord is your strength or defense or fortification or a stronghold or your safety or your protection. The joy of the Lord or happiness produces that. When you run into the name of the Lord, it is that strong tower that, by the way, is filled with joy. I think about that strong tower, that place of fortification. It is a strong tower, yes, but what is inside that strong tower? There's a whole lot of joy going on in there. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is that fortification. So when I run to the Lord with the problems that are going on in front of me, the devil's trying to get me not to be thankful. I run to the Lord. I run into that strong tower in His word, in His name. And joy is a result. Happiness is a result. In Nehemiah chapter 8, in fact, go ahead and turn back there quickly. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right? And then Job, yeah. So Nehemiah is to the left of the middle in the Bible. So find it. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the Feast of Tabernacles is being kept. Last Wednesday night, if you'll recall, I talked about the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus cried on that last day of the feast. Do you remember that? Cried out with a loud voice. And he said that if any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers, right, of living water. You remember that? And we talked about the torches that were lit and the big lampstands that were lit in the temple and how people would walk around with the torches at the end of Tabernacles. And we found in John chapter 8, Jesus made the statement, I am the light of the world. Those lampstands would stay lit. And then there was the water ceremony. And when you read Nehemiah 8, you'll find they're talking about the water. They're talking about this in this Feast of Tabernacles. And as I read that, I was thinking, you know, the people were sad when they heard the word that was spoken to them. And he's like, don't weep. He's telling them not to weep. It's a holy day. Mourn not nor weep, in verse number 9, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. In verse number 10, he goes on, and then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength or your defense or your fortification or your safety or your protection. And so they realized that the word of the Lord had come to them, and they were supposed to be excited about it. Now, the festival hadn't taken place since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. You find that in verse 17. And so it was being reinstituted. Jesus, when he made that proclamation, that, in fact, in John chapter 7, let me just read that to you quickly. Because joy is important in our lives. In order to be thankful, you need to let the joy of the Lord rise in you. And that joy creates a barrier to the opposition that the devil's coming against you with, the things that he's trying to bring you down with. Joy creates a fortified place. And how does that happen? You run to the Lord. You run into the tower of the Lord. You run to his word. You run into his presence. And it becomes that place of strength for you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And inside that tower, because it's a fortification, there has to be joy. There has to be joy. When you're pulled in close to the Lord, joy is generated. I'm telling you, this is the way that you beat circumstances. You let the joy of the Lord create that fortification in you, and you're just wrapped in that cocoon of peace, if you will. Oh, that's heavy. There's a lot more there than we've seen. Now, Jesus said this in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, it's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In other words, come to me. Come to the Lord into that strong tower. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, we have talked about out of the belly flowing this river. Well, I'll tell you, when the joy of the Lord is there, and you have a good belly laugh, if you will, it can be an anointed belly laugh that runs the enemy off. I've seen that. I've walked in it. I've seen when things look bad and you decide you're going to praise God and be thankful to him for who he is, not for what's going on around you that seems to be garbage, but being thankful to him for who he is. Oh, my. The chains begin to fall off. The sadness turns to gladness. The joy of the Lord is creating a fortification that the enemy will not be able to penetrate. Out of your belly flow rivers of living water, and with that, you begin affecting others around you. And now you're taking an atmosphere of what has been created in your life, and it's starting to affect the people around you. Being appreciative is not hard to do. It's just recognizing that when you are appreciative, the peripheral things that occur as you're doing that. You create this place of strength in your life. If the devil can't get you down, he's not going to be able to steal from you either. Do you hear me? Too many times people get all down and, "Oh, I just don't see, I just, you know, it just seems like..." And people get this idea. Please stand to your feet. We're going to wrap it because... It's time, yo. wrap it, Abby. Uh-huh. People get this idea that they're thankful for something, and they think if I get this, I'll be happy in life. Have you ever been guilty of that? If you just, once I get that new car, or once I get that new home, or once I get this, or once I get that, or this happens, or that happens, or I get a raise, I'm going to be more happy, and then you get it, and it's like, okay, what's next? You know when the new car smell wears off? And you have to vacuum it. You're trying to keep it as nice as you can, but, you know, it's like this thing's not as new as it was when I bought it. No kidding. You know, Ann and I aren't as new as we were when we got married. And the new smell has worn off. It's like... I guess it's probably worn off of me, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you will not smell a better smelling man. take a whiff, Larry. What do I have on tonight? Something. Soap. Yeah, I use soap. I do use soap. Somebody asked me, "What do you wear?" I wear that Coach cologne. I like that. That's nice. But I've got this B something on tonight that Brandon actually got me for Christmas. Nice, and I'm about out of it. Anyway, it's really, yeah, I like the way I smell. You guys. I get joy out of that. Yeah, there's sometimes I don't like the way I smell. Okay, we'll leave it there. amen. I love you guys. Yeah, praise God. You guys ready to close in prayer and go home and get after your pies? Shame on you if you're home baking pies and you're not listening to the word. Well, then you're not hearing me anyway. But, you'll hear it on the replay when you go back tomorrow and listen. Now, seriously, let this message sink in. Let it sink in and be joyful, be thankful. The Lord has some good things ahead for us. He's not leaving us. He's not forsaking us. No, no, no. You stand on the... Who's on the Lord's side tonight? If you're on the Lord's side, you got to know God is not going, he has not brought us to this place to turn this country over to people that want to turn it into a rat hole. My goodness sakes. And that's just not God. It's not. Watch in the next week or so. You just watch. There's some things going on. Yeah. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight and bless you tonight for your goodness, your love, your kindness. We praise you and give you honor. Thanksgiving and glory. We love you, Lord. We are so grateful for what we have in our lives. And first and foremost is your presence. And we are so grateful for that. We love our families. We love, Father, getting together with our church family. Father, we just thank you that you have never left us and have never forsaken us. And we praise you tonight, give you glory tonight, thanksgiving and honor, sir. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.